The next day, Frank went on the hunt. About 20 miles south of the Colorado line, in a small town near the San Juan Mountains, Frank noticed a couple of trail-worn horses tied up outside the saloon. He left Wolf with the horses and stepped into the saloon.
Beer, bartender.
Haven't seen you around here before, friend. You just passing through?
Looking for a piece of coyote crap named Val Dooley. And any low-down buzzard puke whoever rode with him.
That's strong talk, mister. This Val Dooley, he's bad medicine, so I hear.
He's a kidnapping, child-raping coward. So is any man who ever rode with him. Pure scum, that's all they are.
The two men at the bar stepped back, tossed some coins on the bar, and started to walk out. Frank stepped away from the bar and faced the men, blocking their way.
We don't want no trouble, mister. But if you're of a mind to have some, we'll oblige.
You got a name?
Yeah, I got a name. Do you?
Yeah, Frank.
Frank what?
Morgan.
Oh, hell.
Frank Morgan? Here?
You boys have names?
I'm Mel, and this here's Wes, if it's any of your damn business.
Raped any children lately, boys?
Done what? Rape?
I ain't never raped no child.
Me neither.
You're both liars. Man I left to die down in Arizona mentioned two men named Mel and Wes.
What was his name?
Carter.
Shit.
Is Mel and Wes all you want on your headstones?
We ain't planning on dying, Morgan.
You better change your plans, boys. 'Cause you're dead. You just don't know it yet.
We left Dooley's gang, Morgan. We ain't no part of it no more.
Where is he?
I don't know.
You're lying again.
You got to understand, Morgan. No one rats out Val and lives very long. That's the way it is.
You have a chance of living if you answer my question, boys. Lie to me, and you die right here on this barroom floor.
Well, that ain't fair, Morgan. We ain't got nothing to do with Val no more.
Where is he?
You go to hell, Morgan. I ain't squealing on Val. That's the way it is. If you don't like it, that's tough.
It's tough, all right, for you.
We don't want no trouble with you, Morgan. Just leave us be.
Val Dooley. Where is he?
Damn you. Damn you to the pits of hell. Oh!
Oh! Good God! I never say nothing so fast.
Kill him, Wes!
I don't think so.
He shot me! You got to avenge me, Wes!
Val Dooley, where is he, Wes?
I don't know for sure. And that's the truth, Morgan. He moves around a lot. He's running, trying to build up his gang.
The last time you saw him?
He was camped over on the Vermejo, near the headwaters. I swear to you, that's the truth, Morgan.
Kill him, Wes! Do it for me!
Not a chance, partner.
Get me a doctor. Ooh, I'm beginning to hurt something awful. My guts is on fire.
Well, they ain't no doctor here. Nearest is 50 miles away.
And he's drunk nearabouts all the time.
How many men does Val have with him?
Not many. Most of his gang quit him.
How many is many?
Maybe 10.
Oh, get me a preacher.
Now, we ain't got one of them either. Not since he run off with Otis Farnworth's wife, Mavis.
Shit. Oh, that figures.
You ride. And don't ever run into me again. Whoever wants to plant this one can have what's in his pockets and his guns and horse and saddle.
Oh man, he stinks.
What's slow over here?
Those two old rummies just might drop him down a privy pit.
Cafe serve good food?
It's been shut down for 6 months. This town is drying up and blowing away. But I got some pretty good stew on the stove, and the wife just made some bread, and she's a good cook.
Dish it up. Bring me some coffee. I'll be sitting over there. Is the livery open?
Oh, yeah. It's still in business. I own it.
I'm gonna stable my horses there. You got a man to rub them down and feed them?
Sure do. Old Bob is there now. He's a good man. Treat you right. If you need a place to bunk tonight, Mr. Morgan, you can sleep in the loft of the stable. There ain't no hotel in the boarding house no more.
Thanks. I'll take you up on that.
Now, it's getting cool this time of year, but the hay is fresh and comfortable.
No barbershop or bathhouse?
Not since the barber died last year. I figure a couple more years, this town be nothing but a memory.
Frank finished his coffee and saw to his horses. He filled a pail with fresh water for Wolf. Before the sun went down, Frank was rolled up in his blankets, asleep in the hay in the loft. Wolf's low growling awakened Frank. Frank's hand closed around the butt of his peacemaker, and he silently slipped out of his blankets. In his stocking feet, he made his way to the edge of the loft and peered over the side. He could see two shadowy figures standing just inside the open front doors.
Stand easy, boys.
A shot hit the wall near Frank, splintering wood. Frank returned fire. The second man fired. The bullet grazed Frank's upper left arm. Behind Frank's second shot, he heard the thud of a body hitting the ground. Frank groped around in the darkness and found his boots, tugging them on. Then he went down the short ladder to the ground floor and quickly slipped to one side. After waiting a few seconds, Frank walked up to the fallen men and kicked their guns away. Then he prodded the men. One made no sound or movement. He was either unconscious or dead.
Your partner's dead. You feel any urge to join him?
No.
Can you get up?
I'm belly hit. I hurt bad.
No doctor in this town. If you got anything to say, you better say it now.
Ain't got a damn thing to say to you, Morgan.
Then lie there and die, partner. As for me, I'm gonna find a coffee pot and make some coffee.
Frank lit a lantern hanging from a nail on the post, turning the wick down. Then he gathered up the gunman's pistols and laid them on a small table near the front of the livery. Then he stoked up a stove in the tiny office and filled a pot with water, setting it on the stove to boil. Frank returned to the fallen gunman and rolled him over on his back, taking a look at the wound.
I hurt real bad, Morgan.
You won't hurt for very long. If you got anything to say to me, you better get it said.
You messed up a real good thing we had going, Morgan.
You call kidnapping and raping children a good thing? Where's Val Dooley?
Oh, he'll kill you, Morgan. He's the fastest gun I ever seen.
We'll see about that. Where is he? Where is Dooley?
He'll find you, Morgan. Or some of his gang will. You got a bunch of hard old boys on your trail.
If they're like you and your partner, I don't have much to worry about, do I? You got a name you want on your marker?
Oh, damn your ass straight to hell.
I don't think all that'll fit.
Dave Morris. My partner's name is Dallas.
Just Dallas?
That's all I ever heard him called. Can I have a smoke, Morgan? Thanks. Dooley changes camps every 2-3 days. He's always on the move. There's maybe 5 or 6 men with him all the time.
Any hostages?
No. They done all been sold. Is Dallas really dead?
Cold as a hammer in January.
You'll see that we're buried proper, Morgan.
I'll do that.
I'm getting real cold, Morgan. This is close, ain't it? I mean, I'm being touched by the darkness, ain't I?
I reckon so, Dave.
I think I'll...
Four days later, Frank eased his way into brush on a slight rise and looked down at one of the outlaw camps. A Mexican family had told him about the camp of some very bad men who had some children, 2 young girls, with them. And there the girls were, Frank saw after inspecting the camp more closely through field glasses. Frank watched one of the men walk over to one of the girls, jerk her to her feet, and slap her. She fought back, and he struck her with his fist, knocking her to the ground.
Damn little whore. When I tell one you get naked, I mean strip. Now!
He pointed at another young girl just as Frank was adjusting the sights on his .44-40.
Shuck them clothes!
5 seconds later, only one man was left alive in the camp, and he was on his knees. his hands in the air.
Oh, whoever you are, give up. Please don't kill me.
One of you girls rinse out a coffee pot and make some coffee.
Yes, sir.
Frick Morgan? Oh, God.
His name is Curly, and he's done some really terrible things to us.
I didn't do nothing them others didn't do.
And they're dead. Or dying.
Oh, Jesus, please don't kill me, Morgan.
Give me one good reason why I shouldn't.
I'll lead you to the other camps. That's a mean-looking dog, Morgan. Don't sick him on me. I'll help you find the camps. I swear I'll help you. Just keep that dog away from me.
He hates dogs. He kills everyone he sees. I've seen him shoot dogs.
I like dogs. I don't like people who harm them.
You're gonna shoot me because I don't like dogs? Sweet Jesus, Morgan, that ain't no good reason.
Frank had watched the man edge one hand toward the back of his neck. He guessed the man had a knife there, the sheath suspended by a leather thong.
No, I'm gonna shoot you because you're a kidnapping, child-raping, low-down son of a bitch.
Curly jerked a knife out and drew back to throw it at Frank. Frank's bullet caught him in the neck, just under the jaw, and almost tore the man's head off. Curly fell back and kicked a couple of times as the blood gushed and squirted out of the gaping wound.
I hope they all burn in the hellfires forever.
I suspect they will, girl. Get some blankets and toss them over them before they contaminate us all with ugly. How long you girls been captives?
I was taken 2 weeks ago. I'd been playing at a friend's house and was walking back home when two men grabbed me. They done things to me. We all got grabbed about the same time.
You girls gather up whatever you want to take with you. I'm going to have me a cup of coffee.
Are we going home, sir?
Yes, child. I'll take you home.
Frank took the girls back to Santa Fe, turned them over to the sheriff, and pulled out the next day. He made camp a few hours' ride outside of town and fixed coffee. Frank was bone tired. Tired of the chase.
You want to stop the hunt, boy? Sure you don't want to provision up and winter in my valley? All right. We'll spend a few more weeks on the trail. Val Dooley can't keep running from me forever.
Hello to camp. I'm friendly and that coffee sure smells good.
Come on in. Light and sit.
Thanks much, mister. I'm Slim Rogers.
Frank. Frank Morgan.
The Frank Morgan.
I reckon so. Haven't run upon anybody else with that name.
Everyone in the territory's talking about you, Mr. Morgan. You saving all them girls.
I'm still looking.
Yeah, I reckon you are. You got the rep as a man that don't give up. You got any idea where this no-count Val Dooley might be hiding out?
Not a clue.
I hear he's some south and east of Ute Peak. In the San Juans.
You think that's good information?
I heard it 3 days ago. And the fellers who told me seemed to know what they was talking about.
Seems logical. That's rough country. Lots of places to hide. How about you, Slim?
Huh? What about me?
You drifting?
Oh, yeah. I've been working the high country in Colorado. Snow's gonna start flying in a few months. I ain't gonna spend another winter in a lion shack chopping holes in the ice so the critters can drink. I figured I'd head down into the southern part of the country, find some work where it's warm.
I don't blame you a bit for that.
Well, best be moving on. Got a few hours of daylight left. Thanks for the coffee, Morgan. See ya.
See you around, Slim. Hope you find some work.
At a tiny village right on the New Mexico-Colorado line, Frank dismounted and stretched tired muscles. He looked around at the single short street that made up the business district. A general store, a saloon, several buildings with boarded-up windows, a barbershop bathhouse, a marshal's office with the front door missing, a livery that looked as though it had seen better times.
A real bustling little town.
Frank walked his horses over to the livery, and to his surprise, a man stepped out.
Howdy. Can I do something for you?
I didn't think you were open.
Oh, yeah. For a while, at least. Never was much to this town, even less now.
Take care of my horses?
You bet. Say, ain't I seen you around here before?
No, I don't think I ever been through here.
You got a brother living close by town?
No, Sorry.
Man was in the saloon a couple days ago, sure resembled you. But now that I'm getting a close-up look, I reckon he was a few years younger than you. Yeah, this fella wore a two-gun rig. Fancy guns they was, too. Had two really hard-looking men with him.
Those men, they ranching around here?
I don't think so. They had them a couple of drinks. I had some girls that walked into the general store.
Young girls?
12 or so. The man that looked sort of like you had him a conversation with Sally Martin. She's 12. Made her laugh, he did. Then he pulled out. Heard him say he'd see her again. I figured that was just friendly talk, you know?
You know this Sally's folks?
Sure. Her pa owns a general store. Why?
That was not just friendly talk, mister. That man was Val Dooley. I've been on his trail for months.
You gotta be joking.
No, he's a murderer and kidnapper of young girls. You have a marshal in this town?
Now I know you're joking. In this town? Hell no. Val Dooley. He's notorious.
He's pure scum. Where's the nearest sheriff?
Good 2 days away.
You got a mayor in this town?
Ed Martin owns a general store.
You want a marshal?
Hell, he can't pay nothing. You want the job? What's your name, anyway?
Frank Morgan.
Frank Morgan?
Yeah. You got a telegraph here?
No. You really Frank Morgan?
Yeah. Do I get the job?
What do you think?
Frank replaced the door to the marshal's office that afternoon. Did the work himself. He aired out his blankets and made up the bunk in the small room off from the main office, then laid in some firewood for the pot-bellied stove. Frank rubbed the silver badge Ed Martin had given him after swearing him in until it shone. Then he walked over to the saloon.
Evening, Marshal Morgan.
Evening. Got anything to eat here?
I can have a steak fixed for you. Steak and boiled taters and chess pie for dessert.
Sounds good to me. Bring me a cup of coffee over there.
Yes, sir.
Frank relaxed and drank his coffee while his steak was being cooked. A couple of farmers strolled in and took a table. Frank knew they were farmers by their clothing and footwear. One wore clodhopper shoes and the other wore low-heeled boots. Both wore strap overalls. The farmers glanced over and nodded at Frank but did not speak. A few minutes later, two more men wandered in. They looked like cowboys, and one probably was, but the other one wore his guns tied down. That gave him away as something else. The one with the tied down guns gave Frank a long once over. Then he turned his back to him.
A couple of whiskeys.
Here's the new marshal.
Yeah, for a while.
I didn't know we needed one.
You don't now.
That's a good one. He got you on that one, Enos.
You think you're man enough to wear that badge?
I reckon so.
Somebody might decide to take it off you.
Somebody had better think twice before they try.
That's enough, Del.
Yeah. You look mighty familiar, Marshal. I think I've seen you before. What happened? You give up sod busting around here and turn to marshaling?
No.
I think you did. You got anything to say about that? I asked you a damn question!
I heard it. I chose to ignore it. Now why don't you just enjoy your drink? Leave me the hell alone.
I don't like you, Marshal.
I'm heartbroken about that. I can't tell you how much that upsets me. I'll probably lose hours of sleep just worrying about your dislike of me. Now I have a suggestion for you.
What's that?
Shut the hell up.
No man tells me that! Stand up, mister!
I don't feel like standing. I feel like eating. My steak should be out of the skillet any second now.
You won't need food where I'm fixing to send you. You'll need something to keep the chill of the grave off of you.
What's your problem with me, Del? How come you're on the prod?
I don't like two-bit deputy sheriffs.
I'm not a deputy. I'm a town marshal.
That's even worse, sir. Stand up, damn you!
All right, Del, I'm standing.
Del, that's Frank Morgan.
I don't believe that. What the hell would Frank Morgan be doing in a two-bit crap house town like this?
Believe it, Del.
I don't give a damn who he is. Don't make no difference to me nohow. You apologize for telling me to shut the hell up.
Turn around and drink your drink and leave me alone, Del.
Come on, Del. Let's just forget this.
You forget it, Roger. And I don't believe that there's Frank Morgan.
Your steak's ready, Marshal.
The hell with his damn steak!
Bring it on, I'm hungry.
Huh? What's wrong with you, Marshal? I'm challenging you. Ain't you got enough sense to see that?
I have enough sense to try and save your life, cowboy. Just set it right down, friend, and let me get to eating.
I ain't believing this.
I'm a mite hungry myself.
You best enjoy that meal, Marshall. Because when you're done stuffing your face, I'm gonna kill you.
Frank took his time eating. A dozen more locals had entered the saloon as the word had spread through the tiny town. The men had trooped in and taken seats, being careful not to get between Dell and Frank Morgan. Finally, Frank pushed his empty plate away and refilled his coffee cup.
Now, by God, you'll stand up and fight!
After I finish my coffee.
I ain't believing this! I'm telling you to stand up and face me!
Why should I?
Because I told you to do it!
That's not good enough, Dell. I got no reason to shoot you, and you don't have any legitimate reason to want to shoot me.
You insulted me!
And you believe that's reason enough to risk death or serious injury?
Damn right! It's my honor we're talking about.
Dell, go home. Let's shake hands and put an end to this.
Mr. Morgan, this man was with Val Dooley the other day. Took me a while to recognize him. I don't think I ever seen that other feller.
You sure?
I'm sure.
Now I'll face you, Dell. Anyone who would ride with Val Dooley is scum.
I'm out of this. I just hooked up with Dell yesterday. I don't know nothing about Val Dooley.
You better be telling the truth.
I swear to God I am. I've been working up north of here. Just drifting south when I come upon Dell here.
He's telling the truth. I never seen him before yesterday. He ain't nobody. Now, Marshall Morgan, or whoever you are, you get ready to die. Because now you got me to deal with.
With a great deal of pleasure, Dell.
Oh, leave me out of this, boys. I punch cows. I ain't no gun hand.
Stand clear, then.
Val Dooley is a great man.
Val Dooley is a piece of coyote crap.
Too bad you'll never live to say that to him in person.
Oh, I plan on telling him that. Among other things, just before I put lead in him.
You gotta get by me first.
I don't see that as any great hill to climb.
You bought a cocky bastard, ain't you? For a man with some gray in his hair and some years on his face.
Experience, boy. Too bad you'll never live to gain that experience.
Well, come on, old man. Let's do it.
If you're that anxious to die, boy, you know where your gun is. Hook it.
You want me to pull on you?
That's right, Dell. It's all your show.
I'm better than you, Morgan.
Prove it.
He felt a hammer-like blow slam him in the chest. The next thing he fully realized, Dell was leaning against the bar for support, and Frank Morgan was walking slowly toward him.
Where is Val Dooley?
He'll be in town in a couple days.
I'll be here.
You look funny. You sound funny. What's the damn joke? I don't understand none of this. You're dead, Morgan. I shot you.
No, you didn't, Dell, and the joke's on you.
How come?
You thought you could take me.
Four days after Dell's shooting, two hard cases rode into town and tied up outside the saloon. Frank watched them from the general store across the street.
That man dressed all in black was with the man who told me he'd be back.
Did he have a name you recall?
I think the man you say is Val Dooley called him Lee.
Lee Hart. No good out of Kansas. He's been staying one jump ahead of a rope for years. You ever see the other one?
No, sir.
Think I'll walk over there and get acquainted. Sally, you stay here.
The early fall day had become cloudy and cool, a preview of the winter that was to come. Frank walked across the wide street, stepped into the saloon, and walked up to the end of the bar. The bartender cut his eyes to the two men standing at the far end of the bar. Frank nodded his head minutely.
Let's have some service here.
Coming right up. What'll it be, boys?
Whiskey. Leave the bottle.
Coffee. Then get out of the way.
You don't have to tell me that twice. That one dressed all in black was here with Dooley.
Thanks. The sugar bowl. When I can get it, I like my coffee with some sweetening.
Well, you're a real girl, aren't you, Marshall? You maybe want a little lace napkin, too?
What I want is none of your damn business.
You best curb that tongue, Marshall.
Or you'll do what?
You don't really want to know, sweetie.
I know what I'll do, Lee. Believe me, I do.
You know my name, Marshal. How come that is?
Oh, you're a famous man, Lee. Lawmen all over the West know about you. As a matter of fact, they'd love to find you.
And you think you're going to arrest me and collect the reward money, right?
I'm not interested in the reward money, Lee.
Oh?
That's right. So, I think I'll just place you under arrest.
You hear that, Eddie? Marshal, nobody is going to arrest me.
That ain't nobody, Lee. I just now figured out who he is. That's Frank Morgan.
You got to be wrong, Eddie. What the hell would Frank Morgan be doing in a jerkwater town like this?
Toting a badge is what he's doing. And I ain't wrong, neither. That there is Frank Morgan.
You boys are under arrest. Keep your hands away from your guns and start walking toward the door.
And if we don't?
I'll kill you both. Kill you just as dead as Del Davis. He's buried up on the hill.
Dale's dead?
Cold and stiff in the ground.
I'm done. I ain't going up again Frank Morgan.
There's two of us, Eddie.
I don't give a damn if there's 10 of us. I know men who've seen Morgan face 4 or 5 pretty good gun hands. They're all dead, and he's standing here looking at us. You want dead, you draw on him, not me. I'm unbuckling my gun belt, Morgan. I'm out of it. Take me to jail if you want to. I ain't got no warrants out on me.
Sit down, Eddie. Take your drink with you. Sit and relax and enjoy the show.
This ain't no damn show, Morgan.
It's gonna be a short one, for a fact.
Huh?
Won't take me but half a second to put lead in you.
You got it to do, Morgan.
You coming to jail peacefully, Lee?
Hell no.
Frank cleared leather before Lee could blink. The outlaw stared in disbelief at the peacemaker in Frank's hand.
Now, are you coming along with me?
I reckon so. And I reckon you're as fast as rumor says you are. You could have killed me, Morgan. Why didn't you?
I have something else in mind, Lee. Move it!
The small jail had only 2 cells, each with 2 bunks. Frank put Lee Hart and Eddie in 1 cell.
What happens now, Morgan?
We wait for Val Dooley to show up.
You figure on putting Val in jail?
No, I plan on killing him.
You ain't gonna put him in jail or kill him. He's just as fast with a hog leg as you.
Yeah, and when you're dead, we'll have our way with the women in this town and burn the damn place to the ground.
There's only 1 hitch to your plan.
What's that?
Me. And I'm hard to kill.
Val's smarter than you, Morgan. He's the smartest man I've ever seen. He'll figure out a way to kill you and then bust us out of this jail.
Keep dreaming, boys. I'll live to see both of you dance at the end of a rope.
When do we get something to eat? I'm hungry.
You'll get supper. Relax, boys. Enjoy your time left on Earth. I figure in about 2 months you'll be looking at the hangman.
I want something to eat now, Morgan.
Fuck you, Morgan.
Later, boys. Right now I have something much more important to take care of.
What?
Feed my dog.
The morning after placing Lee and his pal in jail, Frank stood outside the general store talking with Ed Martin. Frank noted that the general store served enough customers to stay in business, as did the saloon. There were probably 12 or so small farms and ranches in the area, and it seemed as though each farmer had about 6 kids.
Where do they go to school?
Used to have a school over yonder in the church house, but the school marm up and got married last year, moved away. Now it's up to the parents. Riders coming, Marshal. 4 of them. Can't make them out from here.
I can. That man in the red shirt is the man who told me he was coming back. Is that Val Dooley? He sort of resembles you, Mr. Morgan.
That's him, Sally.
Frank slipped the hammer thong off his peacemaker.
Flashy dresser, ain't he?
More than that. He's either got more nerve than a wolverine, or he's a damn fool riding into town this way.
He's challenging you to arrest him, Marshal.
I have no intention of arresting him, Sally.
You don't?
No. I intend to kill him. I'm gonna put an end to this once and for all. Close up your store, Ed. You and your family get into the back and stay there. And if you don't mind, take Wolf with you.
Consider it done.
Follow him, boy.
The 4 men slowly began riding their horses up the street, finally reining up in front of the saloon and dismounting. Val Dooley looked over at Frank, smiled, and then walked into the saloon, his men behind him. Frank stepped off the boardwalk and walked across the street, stepping up onto the short boardwalk in front of the saloon. His holstered peacemaker was loaded up full, as was his short-barreled peacemaker tucked behind his gun belt, worn butt forward, covered by his coat. He pushed open the bat wings and stepped inside. Val was standing alone at the bar, a bottle of whiskey and a glass in front of him. His men were seated at a table near the rear of the saloon.
Well, well, the famous Frank Morgan. Come in, Morgan. Have a drink on me.
It's a little early for me, Dooley.
Frank walked to the end of the bar nearest the entrance.
Bring me a cup of coffee.
Put it on my tab.
I'll pay for my own.
What's the matter, Morgan? My money's no good?
Not for me, Dooley.
Now, why would that be?
I don't like the way you got it.
Money's money, Morgan. But, I'll respect your decision. A man who's about to die should have some rights, I suppose.
You planning on dying today, Val?
No.
Oh, that's very strange, Val.
And why is that, Morgan?
Because I plan on doing the world a favor by killing you.
And you think you're a fast enough gun to do that, Morgan?
Oh, yeah, Val. I sure do.
Funny thing, Morgan. I don't think you are.
Then I guess that leaves us only one thing to do.
I guess so, Morgan. But for right now, I'm gonna enjoy a couple of drinks. It's awfully dry out, and I need something to cut the dust.
You go right ahead, Val. Enjoy your whiskey. I'm gonna enjoy my cup of coffee.
I must say, Morgan, you're a rather friendly sort. Everyone else I talked to told me you were rather surly.
They must have caught me in a bad mood.
Well, I suppose that could be it. And, you're in a good mood this morning?
Wonderful mood.
And why is that?
Because I'm finally gonna rid society of you.
I don't find that particularly amusing, Morgan.
I don't give a damn how you find it.
You know, Morgan, you've been a real pain in the butt these past few months.
I'm glad to hear it.
I had a real good thing going until you interfered.
Good thing? I wouldn't call raping children a good thing.
None of them died from it. As a matter of fact, I would say that a great many of them enjoyed our dalliance.
Dooley, you are indeed one sorry, worthless son of a bitch.
I take great offense at that, Morgan.
Good.
You're pushing me hard. I thought you wanted to enjoy your last cup of coffee.
I am enjoying it, Vel. And I plan on enjoying many more cups over the course of my long life. Right now, though, I'm enjoying watching you sweat and squirm.
Huh. Me? Sweat and squirm over facing the likes of you? You're dreaming, Morgan. Just dreaming.
Am I, Val? You never seen me work. No man who ever seriously faced me has ever lived to tell about it. Not a one.
I could say the same thing, Morgan.
Really, Val? Funny thing is, I've never seen any of your graveyards. Where are they?
All over the damn West, Morgan.
Filled with men you ambushed or shot in the back?
God damn you, Morgan.
What's the matter, Val? Getting itchy?
It won't work, Morgan. I know what you're trying to do. You can't rattle me. But you're pretty good, I have to admit that. You came close. You have a couple of my men in jail, Morgan. I want them out.
How do you know I have them in jail? They stay in jail until I hear back from the authorities in various states and territories.
I said I want them out, Morgan. Release them, and we ride out of here. Nothing happens to this village or its people.
And if I don't release them?
We take the town and kill everyone in it. After the more attractive women and girls entertain us.
Never happened, Val.
You're gonna stop us?
That's right.
Well, Morgan, I guess you'd better get to stopping us. The time for conversation is over.
Your play, Val.
Val and Frank pulled iron. Val was fast, getting off the first shot. But his bullet tore up the floor in front of Frank's boots. Frank was only the blink of an eye slower. But his bullet ripped into Val's belly and knocked him backward. Frank spun, drawing his second peacemaker as he turned and began putting lead into the three men seated at the table just as they were jerking guns out of leather. Frank felt the sting of a bullet drawing blood as it sliced through the fleshy part of his left thigh. Frank stayed on his boots, firing both 45s until they were empty.
Marshal!
Frank turned in time to catch the greener the barkeep tossed at him. He whirled around, cocking the sawed-off shotgun as he turned. Val had pulled his second 45 and was struggling to jack back the hammer when Frank pulled the triggers. The double load of buckshot caught Val Dooley in the belly and literally cut him in two. Frank leaned against the bar for a moment as his own blood dripped onto the floor.
You're hurt, Marshal.
Nothing serious.
My God!
Dear Lord have mercy!
Frank took off his bandana and used it to bind up the wound on his leg.
Somebody haul off those bodies. You can split the money in their pockets and the guns and horses for your trouble.
Oh, do you know who they are, Marshal Morgan?
I don't have a clue as to their names. But I can tell you what they are. They're kidnapping, child-raping white slavers. Pure worthless scum. And that is what is left of Val Dooley.
That looks plumb awful. I reckon we'll have to scoop him up with shovels.
Hey, I think one of these yahoos is alive.
The wounded and bloody outlaw was hauled into a chair.
Oh, you got a name, fella? I hate to bury a man not knowing his name.
Dick. Dick Bates. Them other two is Noble and Henry.
Where's the gang's hideout?
Nowhere's now. Val busted up the gang. We was all that was left.
Don't lie, man. It ain't good to meet the Lord with a lie on your lips.
I ain't lying. I swear.
I wonder which one is Noble and which one is Henry.
Well, what difference does it make? Put him in a big bag and shake him up and you won't be able to tell the difference nohow.
I reckon so.
Frank walked slowly out of the saloon and over to his office. There he bathed his wound with alcohol and bandaged his leg. He'd thought he'd feel happy when Val Dooley was finished on this earth. But instead, he felt depressed. He didn't understand why that was.
Got a moment, Marshal?
Sure. Come on in.
I guess you'll be moving on now.
I reckon so.
I want you to know we certainly appreciate what you've done, Marshal.
Right.
And any provisions you need for your trip will be on the house.
That's very kind of you.
Well,
I'll be pulling out about mid-morning. I'll provision up at your store first thing.
I'll be there, Marshal. Oh, and there won't be any charge for stabling your horses.
Thanks.
Hey, don't mention it.
The merchant quietly left the office. Frank looked down. Drops of his blood were leaking from his leg wound, puddling on the floor. Frank put the tiny town behind him and headed east toward Texas. The weather was cool and very pleasant, the nights getting downright chilly. After several weeks on the trail, Frank crossed over into the panhandle of Texas, stopping at a tiny town just across the New Mexico-Texas line. He stabled his horses at the livery, got some scrap from a cafe for Wolf, then walked over to the barbershop bathhouse. An hour later, he was both feeling and looking human again as he entered the town's only saloon for a drink before he ate supper.
I used to bartend up in the Dakotas, Morgan. I seen you up there when them Calhoun boys pushed you into that fight. Remember?
Oh, yeah, I sure do.
Yeah. Three hard-looking old boys come into town about 2-3 hours ago. They're on the prod, looking for someone. They got them a room up over the saloon, and I figured I'd best warn you about them.
Did they mention my name?
No, sir. When I caught their name, real funny name, Bookbinder. You know him?
I heard of him. And you're right, they're on the prod for me.
Oh, they're bad ones, Morgan, I can tell. I've seen more than my share in my time.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Don't mention it. Are you looking for a bed tonight?
I was planning on it.
Well, you don't want to stay here with them bookbinders, do you?
Either me or those three won't be needing a bed, friend.
I understand, Morgan.
But I will take that room.
You might want it to lay on walking upstairs. Yonder comes the bookbinder boys.
Frank turned and met the eyes of Jules Bookbinder. It had been a number of years, but Frank knew him. Jules stopped halfway down the stairs and stared at Frank. Then he turned and spoke in low tones to his brothers. The brothers all looked at Frank for a moment. Jules continued on down the stairs, his brothers, Kenny and Alvin, following.
Three whiskeys.
Smells like polecat down at the end of the bar. You smell that terrible stink, brothers?
Sure do.
Frank sipped his drink and waited for one of the brothers to make a move. The bat wings pushed open, and an older man with a white handlebar mustache stepped inside. The man wore a badge on his jacket. Texas Ranger. The ranger walked up to the bar, took a place between Frank and the brothers.
Whiskey, please. I know you. Frank Morgan.
That's right.
I recall the time you and Red Douglas locked horns down south of here. Red didn't even clear the leather before you put two holes in it.
I remember.
You on the prod, Morgan?
No, just passing through.
Well, that's good. I hate paperwork. Whew, time's sure changing. Now when there's a shooting, a lawman's got to spend a damn hour scribbling down everything he's seen. That's a damn nuisance if you ask me. I'm just passing through myself. Seen your horse over to the livery. Fine-looking animal. That's your ill-tempered dog in the stall with him.
He isn't ill-tempered toward me.
Well, I reckon not. That's all a man needs, really. Good horse and a good dog. Woman won't bring a man nothing but grief. I had me a good dog once. Named him Cornelius. Whew, he's the best dog in Texas. I still miss him. My wife, she left me after 10 years of marriage. I don't miss her at all. I know that crew down there. The older one, Jules Bookbinder. I know he's wanted all over the place, but I don't have any papers on him. Hey, after you?
Yeah.
Damn. You know, and I thought I could make this run without having to do a lot of paperwork.
Sorry to have to spoil your trip.
I don't think nothing of it, Morgan. These things happen. You want me to jump in, or you plan on handling this yourself?
Just keep your eyes open, if you will. Jules is a big man. He'll be hard to put down.
Mm-hmm. Will do.
What the hell are you two whispering about down there?
None of your damn business. I don't answer to worthless turds like you three.
You calling me a turd?
I'll call you a low-down son of a bitch if I take a mind to do it. Now shut up your trap and let me continue my conversation with my friend here.
Be quiet, you two. We don't want no trouble with you, Ranger.
That's fine. What are you boys doing in Texas anyway?
Looking for work. Maybe working line shacks during the winter. Do you know of any work?
Oh, I can't say as I do, boys. But was I you three, I'd try somewheres else. It might not be real healthy around here.
What do you mean by that?
You might say you boys have a reputation as trouble hunters. I don't like trouble hunters. You get my drift?
You telling us to clear out, Ranger?
Oh, now. I ain't telling you no such things, boy. I'm merely strongly suggesting it.
Nobody tells me where I can come or go. I think you're throwing him with Morgan there, Ranger.
Well now, son, that might be true. You see, I sort of like Frank Morgan. I don't like you.
Well, I don't mean squat to me, Ranger. We're spending a few days in this town resting ourselves and our horses. If you don't like that, that's too damn bad.
Oh, paperwork. Good Lord, I can see paperwork in my future.
What'd you say? You talking about us? I don't like people whispering things about us.
Boy, I don't give a tinker's damn what you like or dislike. Now just stand over there with your brothers and enjoy your drinks and shut the hell up.
I do what he says, boys. That's Ranger Keller. He was a ranger when they was carrying Walker Colts. Leave him alone is my advice to you.
Who the hell asked for your advice? Mind your own knitting and tend to polishing your glasses.
I tried.
Some folks are just plain hard-headed.
You are calling us names. You about a meddling old fool, that's what you are.
Oh, God, I see boxes and boxes of paperwork. I mean, I'll be scribbling for hours and hours.
Well, Ranger, if we get it over with quickly enough, we'll still have time for supper.
Well, I suppose I could take some comfort in that. You ready?
I stay ready, Ranger.
Yeah, I reckon you do, boy. I really reckon you do. All right, now you boys back off and leave me be. That's the only one that I'm gonna give you. You best heed it.
I ain't never killed me no big-ass ranger.
Yeah, well, you ain't gonna kill this one neither, boy. Now, I give you a fair and open warning. Whatever else happens is on your head.
Hell with you, Ranger!
Ranger Keller drilled Kenny in the belly just as Frank pulled iron and gave Jules Bookbinder a 45 round in the chest. The older brother was slammed up against the bar, his pistol just clear of leather.
Bastard! I'm out of this, boys. Don't shoot no more. I'm done.
Oh, Lord. I done messed up bad this time.
I'd say so.
I'll kill you both. I'll kill you.
No, you won't, boy. Why don't you just be quiet and die easy,
I ain't gonna die. Not by a long shot.
Oh, I wouldn't take no bets on that.
Oh, I need me a doctor. I mean, I really do.
You and your brother need a preacher and an undertaker, in that order.
Is you still alive, Jules?
Mm-mm. He's gone. I believe that does it.
What am I gonna do?
Well, ride a mighty lonesome trail, I reckon.
You resting me?
No, no, I ain't got nothing to hold you on. You didn't pull on me. Your brothers did, though.
It's a-getting dark. Is it nighttime so soon?
It is for you.
Oh, Lord!
You mean I can go?
Right after you see to the planting of your no-count brothers, yeah.
I can do that. We got money.
You know, you don't seem too almighty broke up about their passing.
Well, I'll miss them for sure.
That's mighty big of you, boy.
Well, I never really got along with either of them. They kind of drug me into outlawing, you see?
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
I need to see a preacher.
You need a hell of a lot more than that, boy.
I want to go to heaven and see my mama and papa.
Yeah, well, you can wave up to them. I think that's going to have to do.
Oh, I think I'm done for.
Can I have your guns, Kenny? You know I was always admiring them.
Take them and go to hell with them, you whiny piece of snake crap.
Such affection is truly heartwarming.
Must have really been a close family.
How about your horse? Kenny? Oh, can I have my gun back?
Go on. Get it and clear out. You make me want to puke.
You'll be seeing him again, Morgan. He'll probably try to backshoot you. You sure ain't got the sand to meet your eyeball to eyeball.
I'm sure you're probably right, but I'm used to checking my back trail.
Yeah. Ain't we all, boy? Ain't we all?
After 2 days in the small town, Frank and Ranger Keller rode out together, but parted at a crossroads a few hours later.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Morgan. Watch your back now.
Same to you.
Weeks later, with the weather turning definitely toward winter, Frank rode into Fort Worth. He checked into a hotel, got himself cleaned up while his suit was being pressed and his shirts laundered, then went to a Wells Fargo office to see if he had any messages. He had several from his attorneys. One of the messages advised him that he was several $1,000s richer due to some highfalutin stock deal his assigned broker had pulled off in New York City. Another message was that a Miss Judith Barnes had settled in Kansas City and was now teaching school. Another message advised him that his son, Conrad, was now touring Europe with some lovely New York City society woman.
A real playboy. Well, good luck to you, son.
Frank stepped into a saloon and ordered a beer. A man stepped into the space beside Frank, and Frank cut his eyes to the man, a Texas Ranger.
And Morgan.
That's me.
We got a wire from Ranger Keller. Said he met you, and you and him came out on top in a shooting scrape. He said you was a man to ride the river with. Coming from an old salty dog like Keller, whew, them words is mighty high praise, believe you me.
I believe it. Keller impressed me.
Well, I'll tell Keller you said so. That'll tickle him. Finish your beer, I'll buy you another.
Thanks. You had supper?
Well, not yet.
After our beers, I'll treat you for supper.
That's mighty white of you, Morgan. Mighty white. I'll sure take you up on that offer. Name's Pat Mahoney.
Pleasure.
The two men stood at the bar and drank their beers and chatted of men they had known over the years. Good men and outlaws.
But you know, Morgan, sometimes a man can be an outlaw and still be a good man.
And vice versa.
You got that right. Well, half the lawmen in the country think you're part outlaw. But Keller knowed right off you wasn't no such a thing.
Frank and the Ranger stood at the bar and talked for a while longer, then had supper. Later, standing outside the cafe, they shook hands and parted ways. Frank could not remember when he'd had a more pleasurable evening. Walking back to the hotel, he quickly became aware that he was being followed. He chanced a quick look behind him and saw one man trailing him. The man lifted a hand in greeting. Puzzled, Frank stopped and stepped into an alleyway. The man paused at the darkened mouth of the alley.
I don't mean you no harm, Morgan. I swear it. You done me a good turn back at the crossing. You probably don't remember it. That was a few years back. But I remember it.
What's on your mind?
I used the money you give me back there for a grubstake. I panned out enough to leave that damn place. I come here, open me up a leather and saddle shop. Been doing all right.
Glad to hear it.
You familiar with a gun handler named Ben Clark?
Yeah, he's a killer. Hires his gun out. Been killing homesteaders up in Oklahoma territory.
That's him. Big, ugly bastard. He heard you was in town. He's looking to make a bigger rep for himself.
By killing me?
You got it.
He's a damn fool.
I know it. But he's done made his brags now. He can't back out.
Or he thinks he can't.
He's gonna come after you. I wanted to warn you. I done it. Take care.
Damn. Just once I'd like to light somewhere for a few days where somebody isn't trying to shoot me.
On the evening before he was to head out for El Paso, Frank's luck in avoiding a face-to-face meeting with Ben Clark turned sour. Frank was coming out of a general store with a sack full of provisions when he spotted Ben Clark coming out of a cafe across the street. Ben spotted Frank and stopped on the boardwalk staring at him. The street was far too busy for any gunplay, and Frank hoped Ben would see it the same way. But the instant Ben's hand dropped to his six gun and he slipped off the hammer thong, Frank knew his hope would not be realized.
Not here, Ben.
Why the hell not?
Too many people, Ben.
They can get the hell out of the way, Morgan.
Morgan? Hey! That's Frank Morgan over yonder.
I'm not looking for trouble, Ben.
Too bad, Morgan. Your time has come.
My time for what, Ben?
I hope you like Texas, Morgan. You're gonna be buried here right shortly.
This doesn't have to be, Ben. Think about it.
I've been thinking about it for a long time, Drifter. Ever since you whooped me up in Wyoming that time.
You had it coming, Ben.
That don't make no never mind. I ain't forgot it.
I say again, Ben, this does not have to be. Neither of us have anything to prove.
It ain't a matter of proving nothing, Drifter. For me, it's a matter of money. I kill you, my price goes up.
Money's hard to spend in the grave, Ben.
Well, Drifter, you'll be in hell a long time for me. You'll have to tell me all about it when I get there. You ready to feel the fires, Frank?
It's your play, Ben. Drag iron if you've a mind to.
Oh! Damn! You're quick, Drifter.
So I've been told.
Sometimes I reckon a man tries to chew more than he should. Right, Frank? I had to try you, Drifter. I just had to.
I know, Ben.
I got money for a stone. Will you see to that, Frank?
I'll see it gets done, Ben.
Mighty decent.
Is Somebody get the law. This man's dead.
Frank changed his mind about El Paso at the last moment and decided to pull out for West Texas instead. Before he left, Frank played a hunch based on some rumors he had heard and had Ranger Mahoney send out a couple of wires to friends of his. The reply came back quickly.
Here it is, Morgan. Word is that a gunslick named Corey Raven has been hired to kill you, but no one seems to know who hired him or why.
I'll just be sure to keep an eye on my back trail.
For a fact, Morgan, you do that. Corey Raven's a bad one.
Frank took his time, for he certainly was in no hurry. No one was anxiously awaiting his arrival. Hell, no one knew where he was going. The time spent traveling out into West Texas was the most relaxing Frank had experienced in recent memory. He almost forgot about Corey Raven, and that slip in vigilance almost cost him his life. Frank was washing himself in a creek when he heard a cold voice coming from the bluff above.
Keep your hands where I can see them, Morgan. Don't turn around.
Frank paused, the bar of soap still in one hand.
I like a man who washes up before he eats. The fella can get awful dirty on the trail.
Corey?
You got it, Morgan.
Now what?
Now you die, Morgan.
You gonna shoot me without telling me who hired you?
I don't know who hired me, Morgan. All I know is the voice coming from a dark hallway told me seeing you dead was worth $10,000. Somebody must hate you mighty powerful, Morgan.
I reckon so.
Frank cut his eyes, looking for Wolf. The big cur was nowhere to be seen.
But I want to see you sweat and beg, Morgan.
That'll never happen.
Oh, I think it will.
So you're going to shoot me in the back, Corey? You don't have the guts to face me?
Oh, I'm better than you, Morgan. I don't have any doubts about that. Why take a chance of something happening? This way, it's easier.
The coward's way, Corey. I've always heard you were a brave man. Guess I heard wrong.
I got my share of guts, Morgan. Don't you ever think otherwise about that?
I think you're yellow, Corey. You're nothing but a low-down, back-shooting coward.
Don't you say that, Morgan. Damn you, don't you say I'm yellow.
I have one request, Corey.
Name it.
Don't hurt my dog. Let Wolf run free.
I can do that. Where's that damn dog?
Wolf!
I think that damn mutt is as yelly as you, Morgan.
Corey did not see or hear the big cur coming up fast behind him, running hard on silent paws. Wolf leaped and threw his entire weight on Corey. Corey's pistol flew from his hand, and the man lost his balance and tumbled down the short bluff, rolling butt over elbows. Frank was on him in a heartbeat.
Good boy.
After knocking Corey unconscious, Frank looked up toward the bluff. Wolf was sitting there looking down at him.
Good boy. I owe you. I really owe you. I'll see you again, Corey. But the next time, I'll kill you.
Frank drifted for several weeks, avoiding all human contact. Finally, almost out of supplies, he rode into a small town in West Texas. His part in the rescuing of the kidnapped children and the smashing of the Val Dooley gang had long faded from the news, and Frank was happy about that. No one seemed to recognize him as he got a room in the hotel. After a bath and a haircut and shave, Frank had a relaxing meal at a cafe and was enjoying a cup of coffee and a cigarette when two lawmen entered the cafe. They glanced at him, took a longer second look, then walked over to his table and sat down.
Frank Morgan?
Yeah.
You're on the hunt for someone, Morgan?
The only thing I'm hunting is peace and quiet.
Well, this is a peaceful and quiet town, and we intend to keep it that way.
And that means what?
It means you go.
You have any objections to my finishing my coffee and getting a good night's sleep in a real bed?
Not a bit, Morgan. You can even have you some breakfast in the morning. Just be gone right after that and stay out of the saloon tonight.
Oh, I can do that, boys, with a great deal of pleasure. And my horses and my dog thank you for letting them get some rest.
What kind of a dog is that mean-looking dog of yours?
He's just a dog. But I have some suspicions that he might have some wolf in him.
Well, you get no arguments from me about that. He didn't growl at us, but he weren't all that friendly either.
He's a good watchdog, for a fact.
I am sorry about giving you the boot, Morgan, but trouble seems to follow you.
I do know that for a fact. Far better than you.
We'll just sit here and palaver with you for a time like old friends. That'll ease any curiosity of a couple of jabbermouths here in the cafe.
Good idea. What I don't need is any publicity or gunplay while I'm in town.
I'm glad you see it that way.
The three men sat and drank coffee, smoked, and chatted of men they had known, good and bad.
You know a man by the name of Corey Raven?
I've met him.
We got word that Corey rode into a town a good ways east of here with a busted jaw. Said his horse throwed him. You believe that, Morgan?
Stranger things have happened, I suppose. Maybe his horse got spooked by a snake.
Yeah. That throw gave Raven a black eye, too. And several bruises that looked to the doctor like maybe someone beat the crap out of him.
Corey probably deserved a good beating. They tell you what direction Corey took out of town?
North. Told the doc he was heading for Denver.
Of course, Corey has been known to tell a lie now and then. Or so I've heard tell.
Yeah, I reckon so. He wouldn't be after you, would he?
Might be. I got a lot of men who'd like to see me dead.
Well, if he shows up here, I'll tell him you headed south toward the border.
Much obliged for that. If he shows up here.
Where are you heading, Morgan?
I honestly don't know. I'll see which way the wind's blowing in the morning and head that way, I reckon.
The way I hear tell it, you got enough money to buy you a mansion in the city and live right nice, if you was a mind to.
Would you want to live in the city?
Hell no.
Me neither. So, I reckon I'll just live up to my nickname then. I'll just drift.
Last Gunfighter Rescue is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 2003, William W. Johnstone. Published by arrangement with Kensington Publishing Corporation, all rights reserved. Production copyright 2008, The Cutting Corporation, all rights reserved. Performed by Ken Jackson, James Konacek, Tim Carlin, Sherry Simpson, Michael Replogle, James Lewis, David Coyne, Richard Rowan, Michael John Casey, Mort Shelby, Christopher Graybill, Dylan Lynch, Tom Simpson, Terrence Aselford, Thomas Penny, Karen Carbone, Elliot Dash, Michael Glenn, Tim Getman, Jason Stiles, Scott McCormick, Stephen Carpenter, Colleen Delaney, Peter Stray, Kelsey Gruge, Johan Detweiler, Kate Torrey, Chris Rowan, and Bobby Aselford. Directed by Ken Jackson. Book adapted for Graphic Audio by Doug Krenzlin. Dialogue editing by Greg Reinfeld. Graphic Audio sound design by Greg Reinfeld and Brian Rogers. Theme title and original music by Johan Detweiler. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. If you enjoyed The Last Gunfighter, be sure to look for the series Smoke Jensen, The Mountain Man, available at road stops everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free downloadable extras, forums, and podcasts. Read the Pinnacle Edition. Visit www.kensingtonbooks.com. Keep listening for previews of other Graphic Audio thrillers.
Attention all posts. This is Lieutenant Junior Grade Esme Suiza, assuming command of the patrol craft Despite, upon the deaths of all officers senior in the chain of command. Prepare for battle.
Because of the mutiny against the traitorous captain of her ship, Lieutenant Suiza has greatness thrust upon her. But with success comes consequences.
It is my duty to inform you that you have all been called before a court. The junior lieutenants can expect to see charges of both treason and mutiny.
Were you a conspirator intending to commit a mutiny? Were you a traitor in the pay of a foreign power?
And you never heard anything of a plot to mutiny against Captain Hearn?
After the court-martial, Esme returns to her home planet of Altiplano, only to face a trial of a different kind.
It was the dreams. Just the fever. They said something I'd caught when I ran away.
Well, your father couldn't tell you, could he? He hoped you'd forget the whole thing. Bad enough for it to happen at all. But to have it be one of ours.
He lied to me!
Vowing never to return, Esme leaves Altiplano for her next posting. But her reputation, however undeserved, has followed her.
Some captains would be concerned about a junior officer who had been involved in a mutiny.
Is the captain concerned?
I shall expect your loyalty, Lieutenant. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Someone at headquarters really hates me.
Serrano Legacy, Book 4, Once a Hero, Part 1, from Graphic Audio.
Justice League of America, The Flash, Stop Motion.
All the victims experienced massive head trauma, and their brains appear to have been exploded from the inside out by something that can either exist in multiple locations at once or is moving at super speed.
It's fast.
What is this thing you're dealing with that shaves off a man's skull?
I don't think it's human.
He's done it, hasn't he?
I was using human DNA. I expected a human result.
It is harvesting. It is following its first imperative.
You guessed right, Wally. All the victims tested positive for the metagene. All of them were potential superheroes.
It will keep looking
and killing until it finds the donor who provided the DNA that was its root stock.
In fact, it's faster than me.
Copyright 2008, DC Comics. Justice League of America, The Flash, and all related names, characters, and elements are trademarks of DC Comics. 2008, DC Comics. All rights reserved.
If you can't find that hot graphic audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net.